Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 193. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And sorry we missed a week. It happens sometimes. Sometimes it feels like if there's not enough there to do an episode, I say skip. That's what happened.
Yeah.
But we have some stuff now. It's been 2 weeks. It's been kind of a slow dry period, I think.
Yeah.
There's some stuff out now, including the film that we're going to start with, which is called Horror Noir, A History of Black Horror. And this is a brand new documentary. It just came out today, the day that we're recording this, February 7th. It is available on Shudder, which is the horror streaming service. We can maybe get into that a little bit. Directed by first-time director Xavier Bergen. I'm not sure how to say his name exactly. Mm-hmm. And featuring an awesome, awesome cast of talking heads. And so this is a film about kind of like the history of black people in horror films, basically. But kind of goes through it uses the horror genre to kind of go through the history of black people in cinema in general, kind of.
Yep.
And it does talk about, it starts off like talking about, Birth of a Nation, which, is not really a horror film, but it's kind of scary when you think about what it's doing. This I think is a really interesting, smart, entertaining look at that history, again with a really, really cool cast. You have Keith David and Ken Free sitting next to each other throughout the whole film being interviewed. Just all these kind of horror icons and legends, famous black horror directors, but even more minor actors. But it's if you or me grew up on 80s horror shit, all these people that were in the Nightmare on Elm Street series and the Friday the 13th series. So that's really cool. I think a lot of the information, at least for me, is stuff I kind of knew. I've taken film classes and stuff, in college and whatnot. And, mm-hmm. It's not like I was going into this a blank slate where I knew none of the stuff that they were presenting to me, but it was really cool hearing these people talk about it, their experience making the films and, their insights on it. Including I told you earlier, one of the biggest things for me is one of my huge takeaways, where this movie changed my opinion about something, was it made me change my opinion about the ending of Get Out, which is something, it's a film that you and I both really liked. I really wanted it to win Best Picture. I think it was last year when it was nominated.
Yes.
But one thing I've always criticized on this very show, I've said, I wanted them to go with, a harder ending. It honestly felt like there was, a five-minute portion of this documentary where they were, talking directly to me, explaining why my criticism of the film was wrong, actually. Where they're Jordan Peele talks about how his original idea was to have the main character be arrested at the end, and he ended up changing it. And this one professor that they have talking in the film talks about how the most realistic thing would be the cop shoots him. And I'm like, yeah, that's the ending I wanted. It's kind of like the ending of the Night of the Living Dead or whatever,
Right.
And they go on this kind of long, kind of exploration of that idea of saying Jordan Peele's I want everyone to like this movie. I made it for everybody. He's like, but it's primarily aimed at black audiences. And they don't need the lesson that cops, are dangerous and might kill you. They already know that. They want, what they want to see is the black people win and to be the heroes.
Right. And makes sense.
It forced me to think of it from a different perspective where I was like, I guess you're right. Me personally, I still kind of, I am just a nihilist to begin with. I want the darkest ending possible in a horror movie. But I'm after hearing the explanation for why he did it and what a like satisfying moment it is, like, you know, for the audience he intended. I'm like, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, like, so like, I even like,
which
you think I had not knew everything going.
Which into actually, so like, away, it, like, basically, he just made a horror movie, because like the end. I think if you take that movie, you flip the cast, right? Like, it doesn't become a movie. It doesn't become this race movie that it was kind of portrayed as. I don't think that's actually what it is, but like, you know, Jordan Peele just made a horror movie, but if you were to just make it like all white people and like they're stealing poor people off the street or whatever and reusing their bodies,
like
at the end, the guy, the, you know, the main character, he escapes, like, and he, like, that would just be how that movie ends.
Well, see, this is where me coming in as a nihilist,
and you would just where, always like, want him, like, I want him so, dead anyway.
Like, for me personally, I like a horror movie to end on the grimmest note possible, because like, to me, like, I feel like that's the effect, like, that's like, that's what we're trying to reach is to scare you, like, you know what I mean, like, so. But again, like, having listened to his explanation for why he did the ending the way he did, and then hear all these other people talk about like why it made it work for them, like why they love that ending, I was like,
right,
that was really cool. Like, it's a really cool thing, like, about the documentary
for them. It's like he just made a horror movie that just happens to be, you know, star black people, which is different than most movies, and instead, like, you know, I mean, you wanted like the darkest ending, but you also kind of wanted the political message. I wanted the political message,
yes.
And like, he wasn't necessarily attempting to deliver a political message with it. I'm sure.
Well, I think the movie is a political film, but I don't think, like, you have to remember, he actually wrote the film before Black Lives Matter kind of exploded as a movement. So,
right. And also,
well, it's always been a problem. Like, you know, going back to the 90s and well before that, you know, right. It's always been a problem, but it wasn't like in the forefront of American culture. Like, it became.
No. And he's just writing from basically from his experience. It doesn't, like, just because, and I think this is something that a lot of people don't quite get with film or video games or anything, is like, everything is inherently political. Like,
yeah,
just in general it is. It's just how you take, like, your perspective on it. So he was delivering a horror film from his perspective, but, you know, where people like him win in the end.
Yeah, and you don't even have to strip it of any of its politics. I mean, it's actually a final scare that tricks you, because, like,
yeah,
you know, they talk about it, like, you know, black audiences were like ready for the cop to come out and do something terrible, like, that's what you know, that's what I was expecting too, and then it's like, so like, it builds up this one final tension, and then it lets you go, ah, everything's okay, you know. Yep. And like, and for once the black guy doesn't die in the horror movie, you know. So and you know, not to go on too long about Get Out, but actually this film kind of like hinges upon Get Out as this kind of like turning point for black horror. It gives the film a lot of credit, and I think horror noir is right about that. Like, I think, you know, when we look back a decade from now, Get Out is going to be one of the most important films of the decade, I think, you know. This film does give that film a lot of credit, and it actually gives it a lot of time. And so I guess one of the few things I would say as like a criticism against horror noir is I do feel like certain eras do get kind of like a cursory glance, you know, they kind of get glossed over kind of quickly a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is only like 83 minutes long, and I could have easily had it be like an hour longer, you know. It just felt like certain eras got short shrift a little bit, like the 80s. And again, maybe the 80s are probably like one of the least interesting eras for black characters, like, because a lot of them were just like, I mean,
just there.
Slasher films in general, none of the characters were really well written or anything. No. And then so in most slasher films, if you had a black character at all, there was one of them and they were like a sidekick, and you know, and they talk about that, but it's like, yeah, they spend maybe like 5 minutes really on the 80s, it felt like. But yeah, again, I guess, you know, if my, me coming away from this where my only real big criticism is like, I wish it was a little longer. That's a pretty good thing. This is a pretty entertaining thing. Yeah. So I'm gonna give it 4 stars, Chris, and I'm gonna say, like, if you have not tried out Shudder and you're a horror fan, like, this is a good jumping on point. Like, Shudder does not pay me. I've always, like,
no.
That's when I signed up. I debated whether to get it, and it felt like an investment at the time. But now it feels like that investment's paying off with really cool shit.
Just in terms of similar to Netflix, like, their original stuff and their exclusives are generally worth it, even if there's not a ton of them all the time. There's enough that you're like, yeah, this is worth, like, what is
it's
it?
Like
five, it, 6 bucks a month. Like,
it's 5 bucks. Yeah. It's like 5 or 6 bucks a month. And, I usually feel like I'm given at least one thing each month where I'm like, okay, that's worth the price of a movie rental. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like this month I already got, I watched The People Fall Under the Stairs, and now I got this, which is a brand new thing. You know, but the reason I like brought all this up again to say this is because this is actually their first big original thing is horror noir. And they went all out with it. So besides just the film on there, they added a lot of the films that the film talks about. So, like, all these classic old...
Yeah, that is something that's good about the... So, like, they do a good
job. They really care. Curation. Yeah.
So, like, if yes, they're going to, like, hey, we're doing Black History Month. We have horror noir. We're also going to give you this curated list of films that are important in Black horror history.
Yeah, there's one I'd never heard of before called Ganja and Hess. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Okay. That it stars the guy from Night of the Living Dead, the main character, and it's like him, I think he's like a vampire basically, and it came out like a few years after that. And so there's a whole section actually where they talk about how it was just like this really cool film, and it was almost too art house when it came out. And for the longest time, the only place you could get it is like some film institute in New York was like the only place you could watch it. And then all of a sudden, like, you watch this movie, and then you go look at Shudder's catalog, and there's Ganja and Hess, like, right behind it. Like, they really fucking went all out for this thing. So, like, that's what I'm saying. If you don't have Shudder, I think this is worth at least, I'm sure you can find, like, it's 7-day trials or whatever. Check this movie out. It's really cool.
Yeah. You can download it on like iOS or Android and start a 7-day trial, which you can cancel. I think it's definitely worth like giving them the $5 a month.
Anyway, I don't know about this like kind of turning into an ad for them, but like they do have more stuff coming soon for me that I'm like really excited about. Like next month they're starting to do weekly Joe Bob, like, you know, like every weekend he'll like do one or two movie, like a movie marathon night, you know. Right.
So. Then I think they're also the home for Channel Zero.
I think it got canceled.
Yeah, but I think they have like
they do have it,
rights to stream it, like because it was on Sci-Fi. Well, it was on YouTube and then on Sci-Fi, and you can't watch it on like Hulu or Netflix. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, they have enough stuff. Like they have the like, you know, if you're a horror fan, you probably heard all this stuff, but like they have Mandy. Like that's a pretty big horror film from last year. That's like, it's only on there. Like they didn't make it, but they fucking bought the exclusive rights. So like every move that they've been making, I can just tell it's by people who care. And so I hope it's successful. And that's the only, but mainly the reason I'm kind of pushing it tonight is because I really enjoyed this documentary. And it's like, I'm like, you know, if you're a horror fan, it's worth just subscribing or doing a trial just to see this shit.
Right.
So yeah, pretty high recommend. I'm giving it 4. But we're gonna move on to another new, I guess we have a lot of new streaming films basically.
Yeah.
Which is Polar, that's just debuted on Netflix, right? Like,
yeah, recently.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah.
25th of January. This is the new Mads Mikkelsen film. Also stars Vanessa Hudgens. And it's by Jonas Åkerlund, who is, I don't really know a lot of what he's done. Well, like, I know a lot of what he's done. He's done a lot of, like, music videos.
Okay.
He's worked a lot with, like, Taylor Swift and Madonna, and, like, he's made a lot of, like, that type of stuff. But he comes into this, it is...
He's done Spun. He did the film Spun.
Yeah.
Which, I don't even know if I've seen that, but I always see the cover art for that on streaming sites.
There's something called Lords of Chaos, which I've been hearing some buzz about. I guess it came out in festivals last year.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yep.
So it's this film where Mads Mikkelsen plays an assassin getting ready to retire. Because when you hit 50 or whatever, with this organization he's with, they kind of force them into retirement. The owner of this organization, his plan is, well, I don't want to pay these people out when they retire. So he starts killing off his retiring assassins. So the movie starts off very stylistically with this guy. He's retired somewhere in Colombia or something like that. And they introduce these characters with big, like, name, like, flashes up, like, oh, this is Facundo, or this is Hildy, and like they all have, like, a quip or something. It's really weird. And then they brutally murder this guy. And then you're introduced to Mads Mikkelsen. He's just like, whatever, kind of dopey dude who ends up, he actually is like this, like, super badass assassin, except he's boring as fuck. Everything about this is like, it's grating. Like, this, so there's like that stylistic approach, but it doesn't stick with that. It's like the tone is all over the place. And then there's like the Mads Mikkelsen stuff, which he's getting ready to retire. He's like moved up to like North Dakota or fucking something like that. Where he's like befriended this neighbor of his, and like he's kind of like trying to look out for her. And he gets pulled in for one last mission, sends him off to somewhere in Europe where this big, fat, grotesque guy tries to kill him, and he murders this dude like brutally. And the entire time, it's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, none of this is fun. It's not entertaining. Like, the kills are they're kind of like disgusting in, like, not in like a, oh, that's cool way, just like these are degrading. And like, they're these characters that they're using, the bad assassins, the younger assassins, they're supposed to like be like these flashy, like, cool people, but they don't come across as cool. They come across as like really stupid and annoying. Mads Mikkelsen comes off as like somebody who just doesn't give a shit. All the action scenes play out sort of like bad John Wick.
I was going to say this. So you're saying this is no John Wick, huh?
Well, I mean, like, I'm not the biggest fan of John Wick either, but there's a style to that. Like, there's a style, yeah, and a tone.
I give it a certain amount of props. Yeah,
it works. Like, fan, I mean, yeah. it's a watchable film. Yeah. It's and there's at least stuff to celebrate there. There's nothing to celebrate here, like, at all. It is such a piece of garbage. I watched it 2 weeks ago, so I'm like having a little bit of trouble, like.
What drew you back to watching it? Did you just stumble upon it, or were you looking forward to it? Because, like,
no, I mean, I don't have like any like real big evidently, like, people love Mads Mikkelsen. Really have like a big hard on for him or anything, but like I had heard, like, I was like looking for something to watch. I had heard some people talking about it, and actually what really drew me to it was like a forum post from somebody I kind of like intermittently follow, saying that they watched like 40 minutes of it and shut it off. And I was like, all right, like I can get
sounds down. Like a challenge,
right? Like I can get down for like watching a bad movie, like because sometimes like
sometimes it's fun,
right? Like, and some people like we watch a lot of movies, so we can sit through just about anything. And sometimes people are like, you know, they give up on shit too early, or yeah, they just have different tastes. And like, so I just like started watching it and was like, all right, like, well, that's interesting. Oh, it's just like there's no point to any of this. Like it's really, really bad. There is like a sliver of something in it. So the girl that he befriends, I'm gonna spoil Polar for everybody here. So if you really, really want to watch Polar, like skip forward like a minute. But the girl that he befriends is actually the survivor of a hit that he performed that went wrong. And he's like just lived with guilt for the last like 20 years. So he's like supported her by sending her money like via other means and making sure she's been taken care of all this time. And then he goes and like retires near her. But she knows who he is. And they have a confrontation at the end.
He killed like one of her family members or something.
We killed like her entire family.
Oh, okay.
Like, her father was like a dignitary or something. And his information was like that he would be the only one in the car. And like maybe the driver. So like a little bit of collateral damage, but not like
a little bit of Kill Bill, you know.
Yeah. So like, and he revenge. Like, just, coming he fucking kills everybody. And then he opens the door and like sees that like he basically slaughtered this entire dude's family, including like her brother, and her mother was pregnant at the time. And so it's like, you know, there is like this sliver of something, but they never really build on it. And then they leave it on the cliffhanger where she was pissed off at him for a little bit, but then he ultimately saves her. And then she like decides she wants to actually go hunt the people that called the hit on her family. So it's like, oh God, they're leaving it open that this could continue, kind of like, you know, like John Wick or whatever, that there is this society of assassins and there's this underground thing and they're trying to build this into a franchise. No, that's not going to happen. This is a bad movie. It's one of the worst movies I've seen in a while. I'm going to give it 1 star. It's, I don't know.
Music by Deadmau5.
Yeah.
How was that? Was it sweet? Did you like it? Did you dig it?
No, I don't remember any of it. Like, I really don't. Like, I mean, there's definitely stuff that you can be like, oh, that I could see that, but it's almost always played in certain instances where you'd be like, yeah, I could see Deadmau5 playing music here. Like, the rest of it is like, it's kind of understated. There's nothing really. It's like, oh, that's a cool scene. This is shot well. The music flows. It doesn't have that kind of style to it, and it's just kind of a waste of 2 hours. And it's a long 2 hours for an action movie. That's terrible.
I was not aware of it until I think maybe it scrolled past it once on Netflix, if that, you know what I mean. Like, but I was not really aware of it until I saw you talking about it. But looking at the poster, it's one of those things that could go either way, but it looks like an easy skip. Like, Carrie, what do you have to like, say?
You look at that poster, right? And
it looks like a video game or something.
Or it's trying to like evoke like John Wick almost. Like,
yeah, and which John Wick is kind of a video game, you know what I mean? Like,
except this is good. Not that much fun. like good enough that it's like enjoyable to watch, and this just isn't that. I don't recommend it. Maybe somebody else gets something out of it, but I think it's a slog. It's kind of like just a disgusting, terrible film that sadly like just wastes some of the people that are in it, because Mads Mikkelsen actually is a decent enough actor. Vanessa Hudgens is a pretty good actor. but this is a bad movie.
Well, I will never add it to my queue.
There you go.
With scrolling through Netflix, another new movie is one I was really looking forward to, man, called Velvet Buzzsaw.
Yes. Tell me about this, because this is the reunion of the, is it Night Stalker?
Nightcrawler, the team Nightcrawler. That made Nightcrawler. Have you seen that movie?
I did.
What, did you like that?
It was okay. I didn't love it, but there's a style to it that I enjoy. Oh, man.
Yeah, that movie had a real sense of style. I really liked it. Like, did I love it enough? I've not seen it again, but, like, I would watch it again. I would watch it. Like, I was really, like, it was, like, a really dark kind of satire, you know? Like, really kind of one of those, like, twisted, like, criticisms of America, but also just a dark and entertaining thing in its own right, you know?
Right.
And so, I would like, you know, if you're putting together a team that made that to make something new, you already have my attention. And then when I saw the trailer for this thing, I'm like, this is fucking awesome. It's like, you know, art coming to life, you know, like a horror movie where art is coming to life and killing people.
Yep. And awesome. Like the name is fucking fantastic.
Yes. The trailer's great.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I was really looking forward to this. This is like one of my early, like, I'm super looking forward to movies of the year. And look, I'm giving this a mild recommend, but it's kind of disappointing. Like, go into this when you go to watch it, Chris,
mm-hmm.
with the mindset that this is like a pretty so-so Tales from the Crypt episode.
Okay.
Go in with that mindset.
It's like a so-so Tales from the Crypt episode with some, like, huge name actors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then you'll be okay, I think. Right. I think, you know, if you go in with that attitude, like, you know, I'm expecting it to be something that's really sharp and insightful. Like, you know, and it's just, I don't know, it's just okay. It's just, but if you go in with that attitude, I think you'll come away with probably one big criticism, which is same as mine. Or what mine would be is it's kind of too long for that. Like, you know, Tales from the Crypt episodes were like, what, 25 minutes or whatever?
Right.
And this thing is like almost 2 hours. Mm. And it doesn't feel like it needs to be that long. It doesn't feel like there's like a whole lot that happens. And it's really weird because there's no kind of like, like, this director, I mean, I loved what he did with Nightcrawler, but, like, it feels like he doesn't know the horror genre. Like, there's no build-up or sense of dread to the proceedings here. It's just, like, all of a sudden shit starts happening, and then people just start getting knocked off. And pretty, like, well, there's a kill or two that are pretty neat and clever, but, like, you know, there's also ones that happen entirely off-screen, and it's like, why, dude? Like, we're doing a horror movie here, dude. Like, and, you know, it's called Velvet Buzzsaw. It's about fucking art coming to life and killing people. Like, and if you don't really have anything to really say with this, at least deliver the goods on like, kills and shit.
Right.
I mean, it does, like, what it's doing here is kind of skewering the art world and making fun of, like, pretentious art people, you know?
It just so happens to be done in a horror setting.
Yeah, and then the horror's matched in, but it's like I had more fun with them making fun at like studio art people. Like, I really love Jake Gyllenhaal in this. Like, he's just such a little fucking shithead art critic. He's like one of these, like, he's like the Roger Ebert of the fucking art world, you know?
Okay.
But like a total fucking asshole. I mean, everyone in this is a total asshole.
I'm looking at the IMDb. His name is fucking phenomenal. Morph Vandewalt.
Yeah, everyone has great names. Like, look at their names. They're fucking phenomenal. Yeah.
Rodora Hayes. These are fantastic.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, the artist is Ventral D's. Like, so, like, awesome. The story is this, like, lady who works in the art world, like, one of her fucking neighbors dies, like, in his apartment. I don't know, somehow she fucking sees that he has, like, all his art, and she, like, basically takes it. And basically, like, there's all these, like, rich people in LA, these art people that are, like, trying to make money off of it, and the shit starts, you know, like, there's, like, a backstory with who the guy was, and he's some evil dude, and his art's fucking infected with evil now. And his, and, like, I mean, kind of a spoiler, but whatever, like, not just his art, but, like, if his art gets out into the world, it could spread.
So it could spread to other art?
Yes, and, like, that would be a really cool twist, except for the fact that, like, one of the very first kills is not his art, like, it's other art. Like, it's something else that fucking kills somebody, so, like, it's just weird. Like that's, like, a weird mistake that they made that, like, would have made it better. But, like, I just, yeah, once the horror kicks in, like, some of the horror is so weak. Like, just one or cool, one or two cool things, and I want to say that they aren't just, like, I don't want to spoil them.
Right.
But, yeah, it's just kind of disappointing how he doesn't really turn it up. It just doesn't feel as strong as I expected it to be, like, based on the trailer. And just based on, like, oh, coming off of Nightcrawler, like, I know how fucking, like, you know, how sharp he can be. This is not that. Like, it's just kind of, we're making fun of art people, and we're doing a very simple Tales from the Crypt story where it's like, these greedy people find some art and they try to make money off of it when they know that they shouldn't. And the art comes to life and they get got, you know what I mean? Like, that's it. Like, that's all it is. And unfortunately, like, the kills could have been better and stuff. Like, the horror element could have been better. Like, this thing is so close to being like an awesome ass fucking movie. It's just, as it is, it's kind of disappointment, but I also think it's like kind of totally entertaining for what it is. But, you know, just be warned, Chris, I've seen reactions all over the place.
Yeah, I saw some people, like, saying it is garbage.
Our friend Javi and his wife Rachel, like, they both hated it. So, I just, like, my defense of it is, like, yeah, it's not super great, but I did really love them. Like, I really loved especially Jake Gyllenhaal just being a total fucking shithead. So I'm giving it 3 stars. Right. I mean, it's on Netflix. I think it's worth checking out. It's just unfortunately not as I don't know. I had super high hopes for that thing. But I guess one last thing, really, also on Netflix, Chris, is I think it's on Netflix.
Yes, the yes,
Abducted in Plain Sight.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so. The other day, I don't know if I could even make this a true review. I'm going to make a true review, but let me just explain what happened here. The other day, I was going to go take a nap, actually. And my girlfriend, for whatever reason, was in, like, the, like, we never really watched TV in the bedroom, but she was in the bedroom watching TV in bed, like, watching Netflix. And, like, I had been playing, like, Resident Evil 2 or something. And then I was like, I'm going to take a nap. And so, like, I went into the bedroom and she's in there watching Abducted in Plain Sight. So, like, I have no reference for what she's watching. It's already begun. That's mm-hmm. why I almost feel like uncomfortable giving, like, a review score and shit to this. Like, I did not see the whole thing, but I feel like I did see most of it. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I heard the whole story. So, like, what happened is I go to lay down and take a nap. And, like, I'm just, like, kind of listening to this true crime documentary as I'm falling asleep. And the nap never happens because I'm, like, listening and I'm like, wait, what? What? Like, every few minutes I'm just, like, more and more insanely amazed. Like, what are you talking about, dude? So, yeah, this is a new true crime documentary that's on Netflix that is about this family who let this guy get close to them, and he begins sexually abusing their daughter, and he kidnaps her twice. It is the most fucking, like, you know, just when you thought you've seen it all, the true crime genre, there's just, like, another story where you're just like, that can't be real life. Like, real life is way weirder than fiction. And what on earth was this family thinking, ever letting this guy get close to them? You know, I'm trying not to, like, I don't want to give too many details, because I think, like, if you go in like me, like, dude, I was like, oh, you know, because I'm like, My girlfriend always watches like some of the dumbest stuff. Like it'll just be like puppy shows or like, stuff about wives who go crazy and kill their husbands or whatever. Or, like just the most random things. I'm like, what the hell are you watching? So I thought it was just another one of these like really random things that she picked out. But so I'm just like I'm just trying to fall asleep, but I couldn't because I'm like, what on earth are you watching? What is this? And then the next day, I see everyone talking about this. I didn't even know the name of the documentary, even though I basically watched the whole thing. I just saw everyone on Twitter talking. I'm like, dude, there's this crazy ass documentary you need to watch. And so I guess I'll just leave it at that. Like, if you have Netflix and you're in the true crime docs at all, check it out, man. It's pretty nuts. There's nothing like groundbreaking in terms of like the genre. It's just one of those stories that are just so crazy,
That's nuts, yeah.
So I'm gonna give it 4 stars. I mean, this is another one of those, like I said, story fucking really fucking. It's just like you have to see it to believe it. It's nuts. I don't know what how many details you heard, Chris, but it's just kind of nuts.
I heard enough that I'm like
I
definitely
mean,
want to see.
me telling you that she's been kidnapped twice tells you that there's something insanely wrong here, because like that's not a crime that should happen twice to the same person ever. Like
No.
how? Yeah. So yeah. I guess. Well, we have time. I'll touch on one more thing before we go. I did finally catch up on Suspiria, the remake that came out last year.
Yes.
And I mostly again, I mostly dug it. I think if I remember correctly, you gave it like 3 stars or something. Yeah, I'm gonna give it the same. I actually kind of I remember like your review of this because I remember like I really wanted to see the movie, and so like I was like really interested in what you'd say, and I was like picking your brain about it, and I kind of remember you saying like you were pretty much into it, and then like the very ending happens and you're like, what the fuck is that?
The ending is bonkers. Like, I'm still not sure how I feel about it.
Like parts of it are, I think, are like I like that it goes bonkers, but I felt like I didn't need the twist, and I didn't like how he directed that part. It was so weird, dude.
Yeah.
I think you and I both like. I think when I was watching it last night, I was like the whole time I'm like, I like this. I like this. This is pretty good. There's some like really graphic kills in it, like that first kill in the dance studio. Oh my God, that was fucking brutal. Like there's some brutal gore and shit in it. Like it kind of surprised me on that front. And I was kind of into the story for considering there's not much there and it's so long. I was still kind of into it because, like, in my opinion, there was a lot of stuff going on with like the political shit in the background. Like I found all that stuff like interesting, like the setting and all that. But then it goes for like this final twist near the end, which I was just kind of like, I don't know, sure, I guess. But then like the way it was directed was so weird. Like there's this demon that comes out, and the way it's like shot looks like a bad, cheap music video, like from the 90s or something to me. Like,
Yeah,
do you know what I'm
I could
referring
see
to?
that. Yep.
Like I was describing it on Twitter, I'm like, it looks like I'm watching a GWAR video. Like, what the fuck is going on here out of nowhere? Like, there's this demon running around, and like, this part should be like the most intense part of the movie and like insanely badass because, like, there's literally people's heads exploding. Wow. And just the way that the director like chose to shoot it and everything, I was just like, what are you doing here? And like, he was so in command of everything else that, like, a lot of the other stuff in the movie is, I think, really well directed. And shot like I just like just really fucking weird choice, and I remember like as I was watching it, like there was like an exact moment where I'm like, this is where Chris turned on the film because this is exactly where I'm turning on it. Like it was so bad and I almost like ruined it for me. I was like, what the fuck?
It's a weird, weird final, like 15 minutes.
But like I was generally into like some of it. Like I loved seeing like Mother at the end, like and how grotesque and shit she looked. Like loved it. And there's a lot of things like I think you know there's a lot of stuff to dig into this film about that like you know film students and film critics and stuff going like into the future will I think this movie will be studied. There's a lot there I think, but. Just as a matter of like, is this entertaining? Like I said, I'm gonna give it 3 stars, but like, it's long. It's not quite entertaining enough to it to be something that I would want to rewatch for fun. And the ending, like, I kind of didn't love. You know what I mean? So it's like, I respect what was going on here, and I think this movie, you know, is gonna get some well deserved respect. As time goes on, but I'm also like just like kind of in the middle on it, where I'm just like I personally am not like in love with this damn thing. I just thought it was
it's a fascinating film.
Yeah, it's interesting enough. It was engaging enough. And I did think that there was like because I remember asking you too. Like I had heard that there was like politics stuff, and you're like I don't know. It's kind of in the background, and like it's kind of like I thought it was in it more than. I even expected where it was like one of the main characters was like this doctor who had this guilt about how his wife had died in the Holocaust and shit. Like it was, and like the movie plays off that a lot. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. But then I'm also like going, why the fuck is Tilda Swinton playing all these different, I guess I wouldn't have known that unless I had read that. Like that's how well the makeup is done. But I was like, why did she play that doctor? Like, what was the point of that? Like, it's weird. Just like, we have to act her. Like, she's good enough to, she could do 3 roles. Like, I mean, she is, but it just, like, I expected that to do something, like, thematically, like, oh, they're all the same, like, in some way, or what the fuck is going on, you know? But, as a one-time watch, I don't regret it at all that I watched it, but I wonder how much, I wonder if this will actually grow on me the way like Mandy is like really grown on me. I really love it now. I don't see that happening with this.
I think it's too long of a film.
Yeah.
To end. Well,
Mandy feels long too. I mean, Mandy's a full 2 hours and it feels it.
Yeah.
But like this is even longer than like that.
I did not love Mandy the first time, but I don't think I'll be going back, but,
I think you should give it another shot, but and Mandy gets more fun the more you watch it too. Like especially like the second, like once you go in knowing that the first half is going to be as slow as it is, and you just find and you get into that groove. Like the second half is actually really fun. There's a lot of cool like visuals and crazy shit happening. But this, yeah, like felt more like homework, and I was happy to do the homework once. You know what I mean? But again, we'll I'll leave people to write their own like fucking dissertations or whatever on this one, and I'll just be happy that I saw it the one time. Maybe I'll see it again down the road, but
right,
it wasn't one where I'm like, oh, I'm buying this on Blu-ray because I need to see it again. So so there's some stuff there for our little hiatus.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'll have next week, but in the meantime, there's a decent amount of stuff there, I think, for people to check out. Check out Horror Noir. Check out Abducted in Plain Sight. Don't check out Polar.
No. Please.
and we'll hopefully be back next week, unless it's another really dry spell, but we usually think it's
something. Yeah, I'm sure there should be something.
When we do come back, we'll have something for you.
Yes.
Movie dudes.